Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your hosts, Sandra Flack.
The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. That is from Isaiah chapter 61. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Our guest today is actually a former foster youth, Peggy Porter, the development coordinator for a ministry called Beauty Amidst the Ashes. They're an Iowa-based nonprofit that exists to share the gospel of Jesus Christ by advocating and educating individuals and families about adoption. Welcome to the show, Peggy.
Thank you, Sandra, for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm excited to have you here and just so excited to hear your story. Share with us what led you to get involved in an adoption ministry.
Yeah, as you mentioned before, I, at a very young age, was placed in the foster care system, and that really just molded me throughout my life of just the experiences that I had, the trauma that I experienced through those years, really just helped me to have empathy and to think towards the fatherless and the kids that were just like me and the things that they experienced. They were victims. They don't understand what's happening to them, and to just really, it just, from the very moment that I was taken into custody, my heart just really felt for other kids who were going through the same thing that I was. So at the age of four, between three and four, I was placed into the state's custody and then into foster care. And through the ages of up until six, I was really in between homes, not really one specific, no hope for adoption, never really had that clear future ahead of me. At a very young age, I was separated from my baby brother, and we were put into different foster care homes, and really just had a huge effect on me. I became violent. I became really just unable to focus, and eventually led the doctors to put me on medication that was from 18 years and older. I think when we went in the records, it was like 18 medications for ages 18 and up. And I was labeled suicidal. I was depressed. I was having an attachment disorder. I was told that I would probably never graduate high school. I was told that my communications level would never reach past a first grader. I struggled with reading. I struggled with having relationships with kids my age. I experienced a lot of trauma through those years, and just really was a very troubled kid labeled in the foster care system. And that made it very difficult for me to be adopted. You know, when they were placing me out and we eventually learned that when they would look over my file, people would be like, oh, that's a special case, and really just couldn't take on that responsibility. And so that led me to be transferred a lot. Wow. Through God's working, though, he was so good to me, and he really just watched over me. Even through all of the trauma, I can see his hand through every step, every blessing that he gave me, which led me to a doctor eventually who said, you know what, I think the real problem is that her brother and her are not together. Her biological brother and her are not together. And God really brought Logan and I together, and immediately we were placed into the home of Mark and Bonnie Porter. And that is really where, like, hope and the gospel was poured into my life. And love, real love looks like. And through their example, the big pivotal moment was me accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior at a very young age. It was in between the end of my fifth year, you know, into December of my being five, I was placed into their home, and immediately I saw a difference. Immediately I felt peace and started to heal. And then I heard the gospel preached and was continually in church around people who loved the Lord, and it really just showed me what a different life that they had and the love that they shared and had for me. So I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I just remember that lift off of my shoulders to finally, like, accept that he wanted to take away all my sins and I was no longer burdened. But then most importantly, that I had a heavenly father. Whether or not Mark and Bonnie Porter were to adopt me, I knew that I had a father now. And that really, even at such a young age, I grasped that. I held on to that. I clung to that. But one of the pivotal moments that my mom even goes back to is as soon as I prayed and I said and accepted him as my personal savior, I looked at my mom right in the eye and I said, Mom, I'm going to help them. I'm going to help kids just like me. And she just said, okay, then do that. And that really just led me through my everyday life. Obviously, there was healing, there was trauma, there were situations, but ultimately, that started me, that fresh start, to ultimately every single one of the labels that the state and the doctors had given me fell off. And no longer, I mean, I graduated high school, I went to college, I am working in communications, just really just everything that the state and Satan really just bogged down and labeled me as a young youth. He flipped around and really just used it for his glory to really just show that these kids can't be labeled. These kids cannot be told what their potential are because he holds their potential. He holds their future. And I am so, so thankful for that. So that really just fueled me getting involved with Beauty Amidst the Ashes here, which is a very, very special organization here in the state of Iowa and is becoming well-known in equipping churches and families and coming alongside of them, and then also really just giving me a chance to share my story, share how God worked in my life, but then equipping others to do the same.
Well, I can tell you, Peggy, that your story, everything that you just shared, will really give such hope, especially to parents, foster parents, adoptive parents that are, you know, dealing with children with that significant trauma and that whole long list of stuff that you just listed that was that you had been labeled. Because I, you know, I work with a lot of adoptive and foster parents and it's hard. And then you see all of that and then you can tend to feel hopeless as to even if they would ever accept Christ. You know, because there's a lot of kids that do struggle with why would I want to accept God? Where was he in all of that? So, you know, I've heard countless testimonies like yours where just God, you know, it just changed the trajectory of a kid, their lives because of they encountered the love of God. So I know this wasn't a planned question, but from, you know, from your experience, would you say that it was really experiencing the love of God through your foster and then they became your adoptive parents, I'm sure, and through other believers. Was it the love of God that really was the game changer for you?
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, if I had not, I mean, I say this and obviously God had a plan for me, but if I had not been placed at Mark and Bonnie Porter's home and the love that they had showed me at that time in my life, I do not know who I would have become. You know, really, if you go really deep into my story, I mean, the doctors basically said, we're scared that she will never be able to attach to anyone. We'll never be able to understand what love is if we do not somehow find this family for her to be secure in. And, but, you know, ultimately God was like, yeah, I know, I've got this handled. He placed me immediately after that diagnosis into Mark and Bonnie Porter's family, into a loving church family, into loving family around me who accepted me, who literally treated me as their own. I was a daddy's girl. I am a mom's best friend. But, you know, I want to go back, though, because like you said, foster parents, their kids' labels happen, but they do struggle. And the days are going to be so hard. It's going to be some days you are going to wonder if it's worth it. And I know that my mom felt that so many days. And so many days she just felt the burden that I was carrying as well. But she showed me unconditional love every single day. It might have looked like tough love. It might have looked like forgiveness. It might have looked like, you know, discipline. But ultimately, it was a secure, constant understanding for me that Christ loved me, they loved me, and that my future was bright. And I think knowing that and seeing that directly at that pivotal moment in my life and God completely working out the timing in my life really just molded, again, like you said, just molded me into who I am today. It wasn't perfect. I was far from a perfect child. I had to heal. I had to learn how to deal with the anger that I had felt, the forgiveness that I was not willing to give to my birth parents. But again, that unconditional Christ-centered love that they had for me completely changed me.
Excellent testimony. Praise God. So let's get to the organization, your Beauty Amidst the Ashes, which was actually founded by a gentleman named Carl Christensen. So can you share with us why Carl founded this ministry?
Yeah. So why he did was ultimately he was adopted as an infant. His mother had been struggling with the infertility journey and was just really opening her heart to what God was going to be working in her life. And that led for her to adopt Carl as an infant. And through his personal testimony, his personal story, which led to us being founded as an organization, but at a very young age, he saw the gospel and adoption and the link that it has, and that we are each chosen and special and adopted into Christ's family. But also what a great pivotal analogy for us as adoptive children and as foster care children to be able to understand that as Christ adopts us as children and as his own children, so our parents did. And so just seeing that special special testimony has been so cool and so pivotal in Carl's life, led him to want to advocate for, equip others, families, churches, individuals, and then also really just the importance of pro-life and defending those who don't have a voice as well. And realizing that through this, even the pro-life debate that even right now is so strong and the things that are going on in the States right now, that foster care and adoption is the answer. We have that love to give them. We have the answer that they are seeking for. And so he really understood that at such a young age, which led him to serve through all of his life and to grow up in a Christian family as well. But just realizing that that truth can restore life and change lives and really just build deeper relationships.
Yeah, I love that because I'm sitting here in the state of New York. So most of our listeners, and I know you've heard that too, Peggy, that, you know, what was passed here with the, you know, the Health Reproductive Act, that is just tragic. But we are seeing as a result of that, the church is beginning to awaken to these things and the importance of being pro-life, but also being pro-adoption and pro get involved and make a difference and not be complacent. So, you know, we are seeing that here. So, you know, I love what you're saying. I amen what you're saying. So let's talk about what the work of Beauty Amidst the Ashes. I know you advocate, educate, equip. So let's start with advocate. How does Beauty Amidst the Ashes advocate for adoption?
Yeah, we advocate through so many ways. The first thing is we do is we go to churches. So that what that looks like could be a conference. They might be having a missions conference or a conference within their time, and they invite us to be a guest speaker. And it could also look like an adoption Sunday. And so that's what's really helped us to stand out is churches in the area having a Sunday morning, like a missionary time in the service, or maybe more. We've had a full service, we've had a small part of the service, but really just taking the time that we are given to challenge the church, to encourage the church to continue to do what they're doing, but really to speak the truth of James 1:27, and to give individuals, couples, families, empty nesters, just a chance to make a difference in the lives of the fatherless. I think every encounter that I have, sharing my story, sharing what Beauty Amidst the Ashes advocates for, families sit there and go, I would love to adopt in the future, someday, but the journey just looks so difficult, or I feel like I would be alone in this journey, or I think I should just wait and pray about it. And yes, while I do challenge them to pray, absolutely pray about it and to seek God's will, but don't let that speak above the fears that you have coming into the process. You know, like, don't let your fears speak above what God has been calling you and place that special fire in your life. And so I think churches have always really had that underlying, like, one family might adopt and, oh, that's an awesome, cool ministry. I'd love to be a part of that, but not yet. Really just stepping into churches and being like, now is the time. Now, you know, we need to do this. We are ignoring the commandment of James 1:27, and we need to come together, support one another, and really just, if that looks like foster caring, if that looks like adopting, but also as a church, really challenging them to be like, it's not just about foster caring and adopting. You can financially support, because we all know adoption is expensive. We all know that foster care can be very hard on a family, depending on the journey, and just realizing that you as an individual, as a couple, as a young couple, as an empty nester, can financially release that burden and relieve that financial stress that they have in their life through our Hope Grant program, which we are able to provide grants for families who are wishing to adopt financially and to come alongside. So churches, as we're advocating, they also come alongside us and support us, whether that's individuals within the church or as a church itself. And so really just realizing that, yes, we want to advocate for foster care and adoption, and we speak boldly about the promises and the commandments of James 1:27 in the scriptures. But then also saying, now take the next step. Let's financially help our brothers and sisters in Christ who are doing God's work and who are showing Christ's love into these young children's lives.
I love that. And what about the education piece? How do you educate churches and families?
Yeah, so one of the big opportunities is actually we're having another one this year. We had it last year. We had a great response. It was my first one to attend, and I was so excited about, but it's our Hope Adoption Conference on November, and it is, let me double check that date again, but it's November 15th and the 16th of this year in Johnson, Iowa, and just if you want to know more information about that, you can definitely look on our website. But what we do there is we actually have the state of Iowa, the DHS, coming alongside of us, approving further education classes. If you are a foster parent, you know what that looks like, whether that is continuing education, but they are DHS approved. So it is a Christ, God-centered speaker, encouraging, edifying you, but then also giving you the requirements that you need from the state to continue to be a foster parent. That really sets us apart in the state, because you can go to, you know, the different places that speak and give you that education, but to have that special fellowship and that special communication and that community with fellow believers, and to just, it's just a really refreshing weekend. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of seminars. There's a lot of speakers, and we're still in the process, and I'm so excited to release some more details soon. But just that is an opportunity for us to come alongside the families and educate them. But something that's super special about Beat 'Em at the Ashes is we don't just focus on the foster parents and adoptive. We look at the church, the people, the families who are around these foster care families and couples and adoptive couples and families. Because why? Because they're the ones that are encouraging them on this journey. They're the ones that are speaking truth into them. And so we want to also speak truth in their lives. So somebody in your life has been in foster care, adopted, or even was in foster care, and you want to know how to come alongside them, how to encourage them, how to set that fire and to have that relationship with them, that's for our conference is for you as well. It's not just, I've decided to adopt, I've decided to foster care. It's really a church community coming together and saying, we love the fatherless, we love the adopted and foster care parents and families, and we want to love on them, encourage them, and then also be able to speak truth into their life as well.
I love that. So Peggy, how does Beauty Amidst the Ashes engage and equip churches in this area?
Yeah, really, we go back to the donations part, but the biggest thing is we're opening the eyes of the church.
Yeah.
A lot of people have closed their eyes, and just engaging them in the thought that we've left them for the state. We've left them ultimately for the world to take care of. You know, if we really are thinking about it, we are the Christ's church, and we are to care for the needy, the fatherless, the orphans, the widows. We're to take care of the ones that can't take care of themselves. But instead, we've left that for the world to take care of. And so that's what we're able to do, is to engage churches and be like, hey, you no longer got to sit on the sidelines. You can get involved. You can equip others. You can put your foot in the door and figure out what does that look like for your individual walk, but then also for your individual family. We just really want to open the eyes of that raw truth. And really, that if we want to stand together about abortion, child abuse, and really just how important life is in general, we have to start stepping up. And I think just putting that fire, you know, the pastor preaches and we listen and we get all excited and amen, you know, but then we go home and it kind of dies down a bit sometimes. But that's what we get to do, is we get to come in and share our stories, and stories stick. You know, even we were talking about how people just really relate to stories and they're caught by stories. And so Beauty Amidst the Ashes goes and we engage churches by, what's your story? You know, there's a foster kid. We didn't even know that you were adopted as a child. What's your story? How did God work in your life? And that brings that church together to realize that they have a common goal. They have a common passion, and just really sets that fire. And that's really what we've seen here in Iowa, which is just brings so much joy to my heart and just so much excitement into the people who are in this foster care and adoptive community that we've created, to see the churches going, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to engage. I'm going to just make a difference and come alongside you and encourage you and to edify you as families. And then also we just educate them on, what does the foster care process look like? What are these families going through? And honestly, through stories, you get the education of, you know, my personal adoption story looks a lot different from another person's. You know, Carl's adoption story definitely looks different than mine, but they are both something that people can learn from and can, you know, just really equip and engage these churches to see that personal testimonies really make a difference. And if we're going to share them with one another, then we can encourage one another, financially support one another, pray for one another, speak boldly, and really just come before God with our passions and our passions for foster care, our passion for adoption, and our heart for the fatherless.
Well, your passion definitely shines through, Peggy. Do you have another story of impact from the work of Beauty Amidst the Ashes that you can share real quick?
Yeah. So we had a woman who really just struggled with infertility, and her family were, they were thinking about, I mean, they were not thinking about adoption, but they knew the option. So they weren't really looking into it deeply, but they knew it was there. They knew it was over in the horizon, and they weren't sure how God was going to lead. But they attended our conference, and it was the first time. And they were really able, I mean, her quote specifically was, they were able to listen to God's directive to put their yes on the table. And for me, that gave me chills, just to see a family who was sitting impatient and being really patient and waiting on God to speak. And then through us and through our conference and through our main speakers that we had and through our breakout sessions, they put their yes on the table. And then 2 months later, after this conference, their fire was still burning. Their excitement and their passion was still there. And so they signed with an agency for a domestic infant adoption. And the quote that I'll read for you is, she said this, "The conference provided us with so much support and other resources for our journey and provided a Christian backbone, which was so necessary for us. They fully recommend this conference for anyone who has a heart for adoption or foster care." And I think really just she had a full grasp of it. We want to come alongside of them and give them that Christian backbone. We want to come alongside them and help them put their yes on the table. And that's really what we do, again, through our grant program, through advocating, through sharing stories, through equipping others and churches. And then also, personally, I shared my testimony at the conference and my story and how God, just a small part. I mean, we can only share a small part in the amount of time that we are given. And I didn't even go into detail, really. But I had a family email me later and just say that they had, like you said before, that they have kids that are all siblings, biological siblings, and the trauma they experienced at such a young age, they really were bogged down by the healing process that they were going through. And it was hard and it was rough, but to see me stand there and speak with renewed joy and hope for my future and how God was working, they said they couldn't have been more blessed to see somebody who had experienced trauma but had healed and was seeking healing daily and just sought to testify how good God was. You know, we all have trials in our lives, but to see God's goodness through it all is something very powerful and we can all relate to. And so that was just something, again, it's just sharing stories, but then also coming alongside and educating that's really how God's been working through Beit HaMikdash, and we've seen people put their yes on the table, and I think that's just a powerful testimony.
I love that. I love that, Peggy. As we wrap up here, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
Sure. I think I really, when I thought about this question, I went back and forth. You know, there's so many things, and my personal story gives me so many opportunities to focus on different things. And, you know, I will actually be speaking at our Hope Adoption Conference if you'd love to hear more, or would love to, you know, email me. My email is on our website. But really just, I want to focus on one thing is that we as a church have this wonderful, wonderful opportunity right now to step up and no longer let fear and maybe excuses and really just open our hearts to what God has for you. If that is, He's leading you to foster care, He's leading you to adoption, He's leading you to international adoption. It really is a specific small voice, Holy Spirit leading. What does that look like in your life? And so I want to encourage you to that. Yeah, the kids might bring a lot of baggage and a lot of hurt and a lot of labels, and they might look like, you know, it's brokenness. You know, adoption is restoration and really healing. Through adoption, that restoration and healing is given them. But ultimately, it's the gospel in your living room. I know that is such a really used statement, but it's so true and so powerful, is that, you know, if God really has laid adoption and foster care on your heart, it won't go away. It'll stay there. And until you put your yes on the table, God will continue to convict you. He will continue to put people in your life. He will continue to put little reminders. And I just encourage you to listen and to really just let go and put your yes on the table and say, okay, God, you've called me to do this. You've called me to foster care and adopt, so I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like God has not placed that in your life, come alongside the families and couples that have, whether that is emotionally, whether that is through prayer, whether that is a coffee date, whether that is just a quick little note to tell them that you know that God has laid that passion on their heart and I'm praying for you. Those little encouragements mean so much to these people who are submitting their life and their future children to God's will.
Thank you so much, Peggy, for all that you're doing, for sharing your testimony, and for sharing with us today. We love what you're doing there in Iowa, and our listeners can learn more about Beauty Amidst the Ashes right at their website, beautyamidsttheashes.com. So I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Thank you for listening today. You can find more episodes of Orphans No More on our website at justicefororphansny.org, also on iTunes and Google Play. Just look for the show by name, Orphans No More. Justice for Orphans is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls, adoption, foster care, orphan care portal, whatever way God calls. To learn more or to contact us, go to justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.